Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Cool Shit, episode 6. So we have back once again some returning guests. Here they are. First of all, Gina, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks. I'm really happy that I'm a fan fave. That's why I'm back.
Who told you that?
You.
I've told you before, don't mention this sort of thing.
Sorry.
When we're recording. And Siva, how are you going?
I'm doing great. The sun is shining. Happy to be here.
It's not shining at all.
I mean, it's blowing a gale outside.
I mean, listen, it's not raining. Yesterday we basically had a storm.
I like your outlook. If it's not raining, the sun's shining.
It's positive.
Listen,
positive.
We live in London. It's the way forwards.
Gina from High Stakes Films, Siva from Salford, and of course, the editor-in-chief, James. How are you going?
I'm good. You didn't call me the little chief this time.
Well, I thought it would be the third time in a row, and I thought I might get unlucky, and you might go into a rage. I've seen you in rages. I don't like it. Like when you're losing in a sort of quiz, you kind of get a bit angry then.
That's never happened.
Because you pulled it back with a sort of like Incredible Hulk moment. how's the world of cool shit been this week? How are you finding it?
Yeah, it's all right. There's quite a lot going on. There's quite a lot of kind of science-y stuff. There's a lot of space, some kind of medical things, which doesn't sound that exciting, but some of them are quite interesting.
Keep tuned for some great medical stuff. Should we jump in?
Sure. So, Satoshi Island, if that's how you pronounce it, is a 800-acre sustainable smart city on a private island, which is setting out to become the world's first cryptocurrency economy and the official home for, quote, crypto professionals and enthusiasts.
Right, so I need to dig deeper straight away. Like, what the heck is this, right? So, it's an island in the Pacific, is that right?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Sure.
Somewhere, right,
yeah.
Okay, right. And you're only allowed to spend crypto there. They're going to make a sustainable population that's reliant on cryptocurrencies, sustainable in that it will be totally non-damaging to the environment, and loads of nerds are going to go and live there.
Yeah,
is that right?
With socks and sandals, basically, complaining that the sun's too hot and the Wi-Fi's slow.
I'm going to jump to you, Gina. Did you have a look at this story?
I did, and it really confused me because I don't really understand cryptocurrency, so I don't have much to say about it. I do find it odd, though. It kind of reminds me of Fire Festival, like a massive idea that probably will go tits up. That was my first thought.
That's one of the things. It's like a concept video, isn't it? So that's kind of worrying straight away. Yeah. It's got this really dystopian voice, like people will come here and they will be free and happy and wonderful. And like it just feels a little bit like, I don't know.
Black Mirror almost.
Yeah,
It could go really wrong.
Well, that's what we were saying. If you get somebody with a voice that soothing to do the video, then it's like you're trying to hide something. So it becomes unsettling through being so soothing.
Who are the people behind it? Satoshi Island Limited. So there's a company.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know their names.
This is such like a sci-fi movie.
This is the point. It's decentralized. I don't think you have to know. It's probably someone called Q or something.
No, it's designed by an architecture firm.
So. Well, no, the buildings where they're going to live, which basically look like sort of transparent shipping containers.
Strange.
So I hope they're like seeing their neighbors naked.
You'd go there, James, wouldn't you?
I mean, that's what it is. It's like off the grid living, really, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. It's basically for people who. Well, it's kind of pointless because they spend the whole time online. So I guess the idea is if you don't have to be in an office, then you may as well be on a beach, on an island, surrounded by a load of people who are also doing the same thing. So I don't know if you can actually sign up. I imagine you've probably got to have a certain amount of Ethereum or something.
Sounds like a cult, though, I think.
It does sound
like I'm going to put it out there. It feels really unsettling.
Yeah, unsettling and culty.
It's cult shit, not cool shit.
Yeah. I mean, does cult shit count as cool shit?
If it's a good cult, I'm sure if you're in the cult, I'm sure you'd have a lovely time.
Well, to a point, and then usually cults go a little bit bad. What happens if you run out of crypto and you're just like,
have a go on your ukulele.
you go fishing. And
but
like,
you're right, actually. It's an interesting situation where like all of the people there, because considering how much crypto fluctuates, like overnight you could wake up skint and not be able to afford breakfast, which can be quite fun.
Okay, so just before we move on, who would go? Island. Who would go to visit Crypto Island with James and his chums?
Why am I there?
I don't know, you brought it to the table. I can imagine you there, just showing us around.
someone's not getting a coconut on arrival.
Any other thing that you want to talk about this week that grabbed your attention?
Yeah. So this week, a group of scientists have developed a new message to be beamed out into the universe to potential intelligent aliens that might exist in the Milky Way to show them what we look like as a species and to give them our exact location in the cosmos.
That's not a good idea, because if they come here and kill us all, then what?
Well, it is weird to show, so here's a picture of how pink and fleshy we are and how soft and vulnerable. Yeah, and the guy looks really odd in it as well. I don't know why they have to be naked, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know why they have to be naked.
I think when you're trying to work out what we actually look like, it might be confusing if we're showing us with clothes on. It's not part of the, you know, like our physical anatomy, is it?
But what if the aliens turn up for a party thinking, yeah, everyone's going to be naked here, and then they're disappointed, so no, all these proofs.
those aren't the sort of aliens we should be inviting in.
Listen, it's like showing pictures to a baby. They don't know anything about us. Doctor Who, like, not all the aliens were wearing clothes, you know? We just weren't saying, oh my God, the alien's naked.
Yeah.
It's not pure form.
They don't know what shame is.
So where are these scientists?
Well, I did notice this in the article, that it just said a group of scientists.
And
technically, we could claim to be
It's NASA. Sorry. They're from NASA.
Yeah. Are they? Because I also read somewhere, like in brackets, non-peer-reviewed, which I thought was like...
Yeah, it is non-peer-reviewed.
NASA do non-peer-reviewed stuff? Is it definitely NASA?
It says the beacon, so the thing, was devised by Jonathan Jiang, a scientist at NASA's Jet Something Lab.
Those Ace and Take glasses aren't working too well today.
She's right.
Let's go one podcast without mentioning Ace and Take. Let's see if we can do it.
Sponsored by Ace and Take.
To be fair, that is in the third paragraph. So when I say it didn't say in the article,
you just didn't read
it that far. Yeah,
you just skipped to the pictures, like the aliens.
I mean, I do think. I mean, I love anything to do with space and the exploration of what our universe is and what it could be and what we know about it. So I think it's quite exciting to be moving forward. I do know that we have SETI, which is, I think, again, that's a NASA thing.
It's what Northerners call a sofa, isn't it?
where we try to track radio waves and listen, and it's so far been called the Great Silence because we've heard nothing. Also know about the Fermi Paradox, which is basically, if there was life in the Milky Way, it kind of feels like we should have found it by now. Yeah, well, it's only searching the Milky Way, right? So
Not other galaxies.
Well, actually, let's do lightning round then. Siva, aliens, yes or no, do they exist? Lightning round, Siva.
I mean, I believe in mermaids, so I'm just going to say yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Do you believe in alien mermaids?
Wait, no, hang on.
Why, it's supposed to be a lightning round, guys.
But what? No, we can't move past that. Why do you believe in mermaids?
I feel like, come on, the sea is so vast. Like, there's too much happening down there. Like, we don't know what's actually.
Don't put her in mermaids, because if she does actually believe in mermaids, it's just going to get too weird. And we're going to move on. I'm going to have to edit it out.
Let's move on. Let's move on and save Siva's career.
Gina.
Yeah, I do think they are, but they're probably not what we imagine they look like.
Yeah.
Well, so no fishy tail then?
No.
I definitely believe that there's life out there, but I'm not sure it's in our Milky Way. Mm. Pat on the back to the guys that are doing this. You've got to do it, right?
Although, maybe you've got to do it, but I did see that apparently Stephen Hawking, just before he died, warned specifically against this. He said, we can look for aliens, but let's not tell them exactly where we are. Let's not send our locations.
Yeah, we sent locations. That was a little bit, maybe you shouldn't have done that.
If anything, it's lazy. So I can't bother to look anymore. Can you just come to us?
Who's challenged a couple of times, but yet has got nowhere with getting a story into Cool Shit? I think that is you, Siva. So what are you bringing this week? Are we going to do it? Have we got something exciting?
I don't know. Do say third time's a charm. James, are looking at you. My story is basically, so the title reads, male birth control pill 99% effective in mice, and they're gonna start human trials this year. So
Well, we talked about medical and science,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, this so. Matches. But first, we'll start with who? Gareth, would you go on trial?
Let's. I want to dig into this story.
That's a
little
rumor.
I'd like to dig into this story a little bit more. So, birth control for guys, yeah. Yes. So, what is it? Is it a pill? Is it like a hormone? Is it an injection? What is it?
So, it's a birth control pill, and obviously, it does have side effects, you know. I think it's fair. I think us girls have. Deal with a lot already, you know? We do take on a lot, and I think it's time for you guys to take some burden off of us, you know?
James, you're about to yell something. Saw you quite excited about male birth control.
No, I wasn't going to yell anything. Do you not think that the reason there's currently a female contraceptive pill is because it's the female who has the baby?
No. It was because they did actually try and make male contraception before.
I know, but it lowers testosterone,
That's a you problem.
In many ways, having the baby would be a you problem then. If everybody took that approach, that wouldn't really work.
I mean, no. So basically, they did try it for men, but the side effects, like you mentioned, were too bad.
So sorry, they tried it back in the day. We're talking about like the last century.
It has been like tested and stuff, but the side effects were really bad. So they decided to give it to women, even though the side effects are also really bad for women. So it just comes from, like, in the medical field, is really, really sexist, to be fair. So.
But it's the woman who's having the baby, so you've got kind of more to lose there, surely.
But it takes two, no?
Sure, but it doesn't. But nothing grows in the man.
No, to be fair, what James is saying is that we are the oven and they basically are the dough. But I feel like, you know, the dough
is that what I'm saying?
Okay, look, I'm interested in this argument because I don't understand. Why does it seem that it's more important that women take it than men take it? Is this a misogynistic thing? Like,
yeah.
But is it natural for men to think, oh, no, it's a woman thing?
It literally is, as in the man doesn't then have to give birth. Because the man is, obviously, you shouldn't run away, but the woman literally can't run away. That's why it's more important, surely, for a woman to be protected.
Young people can do as they please, you know, sleep with who they want. That's kind of like the rules of where we are at the moment, and that's fine. I completely back that. So, like, if as a single geezer, yeah, you're like, it gives you the freedom to just get on, do what you want, not have to worry.
Exactly.
Looking at this in terms of cool shit, let's bring it back to what we're here to discuss, right? So, like, is this cool shit? So, a male contraceptive pill, right, could actually be a game changer in terms of, like, there are, like, loads of side effects that women do go through, right? What are the side effects that the guy is going to go through with this? Does it list them at all?
It says that guys will cry more, be more emotionally available.
Yeah, so hormonal.
I'm joking, this is all. It is just, okay, yeah, so there's weight gain, depression.
Yeah, everything. Increase.
Yeah, it's just cholesterol levels, all the same.
So it's just like going from McDonald's, basically.
I think it is cool, though, because it's pioneering. You're right, strip it back to why it's on cool shit.
But the argument that because the pill is bad for women, just levelling the playing field doesn't make that cool in itself. Just because there's something that is unfair, that doesn't mean making it kind of bad for other people as well, just in the interest of equality, makes it cool or desirable.
It's offering more options. Get with the change, granddad. The world changes, it moves on. Give people more options. Because there'll be plenty of guys out there that's like, do you know what? Like, I am going to use protection, but I'm also going to use this because it's going to give me more freedom to get on, do what I want, and not have to worry about unwanted pregnancies that I have caused.
I think James does agree with us, but he just doesn't want my story to come on. That's what it is.
I've got a non-intense one, though, if you want to hear.
Yep.
Who likes strawberries?
I do.
Who likes strawberries? Put your hand up.
I love strawberries,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you'll be really happy to know that there's a new Guinness World Record for the biggest strawberry ever recorded, and it's 289 grams, which is a big boy. That's my story, that there's a really big strawberry.
Okay, all right. So how was this strawberry cultivated? Was it a GM strawberry?
No,
was it like an organic strawberry?
It was an organic one. There was a farmer in Israel, so there's lots of strawberries in Israel. I always see it on like the packets in Tesco. And he grew the largest strawberry on record. He spent a year farming it. So it was picked on his farm in Feb 21. And since Feb 21, it's been stored in a freezer because the Guinness World Book of Records needed to carry on researching and make sure that there's no other strawberries that are bigger. So it was frozen for like a year. And then the results are in, and it is the world's biggest strawberry.
Imagine spending a year of your life looking for if there is another bigger strawberry out there and then finding that there isn't.
I guess they check on all the strawberry farms around the world. The last one was from 2015, which was 250 grams in Japan. but this one tops it at 289.
I feel like that's a good Tom Hanks movie. Like Tom Hanks has to find, like, get in touch with all strawberry farmers from all around the world, and some heartwarming story comes of it.
About
I don't
a
know.
Family farm, yeah.
About a family farm.
Or you've got, like, sort of warring strawberry growers.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of arms race. Cast Will Smith and Chris Rock. Each growing a strawberry.
There's a movie in this, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there is a movie in this. I just think it's cool. It looks disgusting because it's been in the freezer for a very long time. But it's big.
Kind of avoid the really big strawberries.
So do I. They scare me.
I'm like, whoa, no, Mr. Strawberry.
Well, it's got more flavour to... It's got the same amount of flavour to spread about more.
Bigger.
So if you get a smaller one, it's concentrated flavour.
Well, there we go. I knew there was a reason. I mean, thanks for coming, James.
That's not peer-reviewed either.
Or it's just pumped up, so it just looks more pleasing and the consumers would buy it.
But it doesn't, though. That's the thing.
But I think we're used to seeing, like, uniformity, like, with different fruit and stuff. So when we see one that's slightly different, we're like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Because we're spoiled.
Fan of strawberry sliver?
I feel like strawberry is one of the most overrated.
I agree.
Fruits.
I actually agree.
I love raspberries.
Wait a second. Whoa, you're also. Can we just backtrack here? Like, you literally started with who likes strawberries? Everyone's like, yay, me! And then, like, we've gone to jump to, like, yeah, most overrated. Yeah, it's totally, man. Totally,
it
totally
is.
Overrated.
It is. I love strawberry flavoured stuff, like strawberry sweets, but the strawberry itself, I'd rather just have a pineapple.
Is this cool shit, James? We're very on the sort of like science tip, like agricultural tip. What about this strawberry story? What do you think?
Yeah, great. I don't think it's cool shit. I think it's impressive and it's fine, but I don't think it's not changing the world in the same way that Sivir's story might be, for example.
All right. That's the last time I'm on this podcast. I've had enough. I wanted a winning streak of getting my stories in.
Whoa, it hasn't been decided yet. You can't walk off yet.
Sorry,
like, that is it. I am leaving. This is over.
Do you know what, Gareth? Like, I was prepared this week. You know, James is, you know, infamously known to reject my stories.
Likewise, you haven't won either. You're like making an acceptance speech. We haven't decided yet, guys.
No, but listen. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring two stories.
Oh.
Yeah. Change the game. Anyway, my one is Tesco has launched a new Ramadan billboard, and this is like the first advert they've done. Obviously, right now it's a holy season for all Muslims out there. I think it's a huge statement for such a big corporation like Tesco to do. I've got friends that, you know, have worked with RGS or HSBC or the courts, and most of their employees and co-workers don't actually know that they're fasting right now, and it could be really hard and difficult. And for Tesco to do that, and for us to actually speak about it right now, I think is so impactful. And it's not just cool shit, it's actually real shit.
Okay, talk me through it, because I think it's quite a clever thing that they've done with this billboard. How does it work? It's interactive, isn't it?
So basically, it's like a billboard, an electronic billboard, which throughout the day has, and there's a load of people holding plates, I guess. It looks like a dinner scene, but there's no food. And as the sun goes down, food appears on the plates.
And as Ramadan, so Ramadan, you fast from when it's dark in the morning to when it's dark in the evening, and then you can have iftar.
So when the food appears, that's when Muslims can break their fast, basically.
Okay, so I'm just going to put it out there. It's a banging story. Like, I just think that, like, it's a lovely way of, like, showcasing, an understanding of, you know, different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't have to be a Muslim to like that. I think that it's, you know, talking in sort of, like, campaign terms, I think it's an effective campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to the photographer. We know the photographer that worked on it, Khalil. Oh, shout out.
Nice.
It'll be at Wembley with us on Monday.
But there we go. There we go. More projects to come up from Zach. Find out more about Zach. Go to www.zachagency.com. I think it's a really nice story, actually.
And I feel like the small details, the fact that all billboards are positioned eastwards because that's where the sun sets.
That is cool.
The fact that the campaign runs for 3 hours just before dusk. It's just... these small details are it's something that you'd have to appreciate, you know?
Mm.
They did get it right. They nailed it.
All right, well, so, like, you've come in with a surprise story, so I'm going to try and quickly rattle through a story that I saw that caught my eye. So it's an organisation called Made by Dyslexia, and they've pushed for LinkedIn, so it's a partnership with LinkedIn, for dyslexia to be recognised as a skill.
Jenny, Excel. You know LinkedIn better than I do.
I love a bit of LinkedIn.
So, what skills can you have?
Like you know, critical thinking, I don't know, sales, like just any kind of basic, any skills, teamwork.
But it begs the question, do people want dyslexic thinking on their books? Is that like something that we...
It might be, because I guess they think differently to other people.
So yeah, like I just talked about, like I'm a dyslexic, mm-hmm. and being dyslexic is really annoying. I'm not going to moan about it, but it's just really annoying. But then there are things that come with being dyslexic which are supposed to make you think differently and approach problems in a different way. So my other half is a clinical psychologist, and she just sits there and watches me for a while, and she's like, mm-hmm. I've worked out what your dyslexia does for you. And I'm like, what's that? And she's like, well, most people go through a problem because that's the best way to get through a problem. But you, all you do is you look at the problem and you go around it and go to the answer. You're not gaining what you gain by going through the problem, mm-hmm. but you're actually seeing where the answer kind of should be, and you're trying to approach the answer from by moving around it without picking up the information that's in the middle. So whatever step someone's going to teach me is not going to be helpful to me. I'm going to have to do that myself and do sort of like dyslexic creative mathematics in my head and go like, oh, just leave it to me. I'll explain how we get there in my own head rather than you trying to take me through it.
Wow.
No, that was a lot.
It's kind of reverse engineering, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it is. But then also, it's just a bit annoying being dyslexic. So,
it's annoying for me too as well. You keep getting me to check emails. And
well,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But like classic mistakes. So I was replying to a client once. For some reason, their font had come through quite big. You know, like emails sometimes, randomly someone sends you a big font, right? Mm-hmm. So I composed an email, wrote a really nice email. And at the end, I meant to write, love the big text. Well, like sent it off, and then I'm like, hey, just check that email. At the end, what I'd done is I'd written, love you, big text.
To be fair, I thought that was going to be way worse.
I thought it was going to be something else as well, to
yeah.
be fair.
When I was younger, I sent a Valentine's Day card to a girl, and it said, you're an angle, you're my angle.
Angle.
Oh, that's a cute.
That is cute. Oh, a cue.
Oh. What I found interesting with this campaign is that they listed all sort of like famous dyslexics, and I was like, really, like, oh, no, not them.
Who was it?
I was like, Richard Branson, like...
Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver. I'm just like, can we have some cooler dyslexics here?
Yeah.
Well, then they tried to sneak in Leonardo da Vinci, so I'm not sure how they
worked
that out.
How the hell do they know he was dyslexic?
They don't, basically. He spelt something wrong once.
Oh, my God.
But the Tom Cruise, apparently, you've got some good ones in there.
Tom
Spielberg.
Cruise is a Scientologist, isn't he?
I wouldn't say Tom Cruise is cool, would you?
No, that's exactly.
Oh, I mean, iconic,
impressive.
Perhaps,
he's impressive, though.
I'm not a fan of him, but that's another
Oh,
story.
I kind of am.
Ones that they missed off, like Guy Ritchie, because he's a scriptwriter as well as a director, I find quite interesting. He's a dyslexic.
Richard Branson's cool. Look, we might go to Mars because of him, so...
He's not the one that's getting us to Mars.
He's also not cool.
Look at his hair.
I think he's done...
It looks like yours.
So it looks like Timothy Chalamet.
You are Timothy Chalamet and Richard Branson's love child.
Fair. I wish they had those contraceptive pills.
Yeah, so, like, I thought that was quite an interesting story. Look, James, you've had quite a few stories there, and we're running out of time, so what are you thinking? What are you saying?
Oh, it's tricky, isn't it? So what have we had? I'd say my least favourite is probably the... And I'm looking at you, Gina.
I can see.
It's probably the strawberry that's slightly bigger than another strawberry.
No, it's not slightly. It's 289 grams.
Listen, Gina, okay. It never works.
Let it go. Male contraceptive pill is interesting. And also, I'm not entirely happy with the stuff that I said, so I'm tempted to put it in to show that I'm a great guy.
Regrets.
Virtue signalling over there on the left.
Yeah. But for me, I think it's between dyslexic thinking, because I do think you said that would like sort of employers want that, but I do think if you're sort of a young person on LinkedIn, as many young people are, to see it described as a skill rather than affliction, and an affliction would probably be quite good for you, yeah. And then you might be able to work, because you've probably learned how to channel your weird brain, your neurodivergence into creative dyslexic thinking.
Yeah,
so if it's described as a skill, that might help someone else do that. So yeah, I do actually quite like that. And the Ramadan one, it's just a good campaign, really. My only question was whether it's kind of slightly muddied by whacking like a big Tesco logo on it. But I kind of think,
When you explained it, I thought the kind of, I don't know, the ends sort of justify it. Like they're gonna, it's a campaign at the end of the day. They're gonna put their logo on it. Yeah. And again, if it's sort of raising awareness, because you don't really see many Ramadan campaigns compared to, like, say, the amount of Christmas campaigns you get, for example. Yeah. So I don't know. It's between the two of those.
Okay, interesting. Are we going to make an on-the-spot decision, or are we going to leave it to you? Are we going to find out in the Cool Shit newsletter that comes out tomorrow?
We could leave it on a cliffhanger. It might make people read it.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to leave this week's on a cliffhanger. If they do want to find out and find out all of the past stuff that's gone in and out, where do they find the Cool Shit newsletter, James?
www.zacagency.com/coolshit.
Amazing, amazing. And... third time was a charm. Gina, Siva, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been great, as always.
James, I will see you next week and all the times that I have to see you in between, unfortunately.
Charmed.